This is Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to the word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come out of your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Thanks be to God.
Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, we thank you that you speak to us through your word. And we ask, O Lord, that you will give to us attentive hearts, that we may discern by your Holy Spirit those things that you want to teach us, that we may truly walk before you in holiness and righteousness for your glorious sake. Amen. Today, of course, is the last Sunday of Trinity, and we get into a new pattern from next Sunday. But it's also often celebrated as Bible Sunday, the opportunity when we can remember the importance of the Word of God. So many of us, of course, take the Bible for granted. Many of us will have been brought up with it. We have many copies, perhaps, at home, or perhaps just one. Maybe it collects dust on the bookshelf, but hopefully it doesn't. But the Bible is a powerful way in which God speaks to you and me today. I believe there are two ways in which God speaks to us. One is through his word, and the other is by his spirit. And the two go hand in hand, because it is the Spirit who has inspired those who have written the Word in order that we may be able to discern that as we read the Word, it's not just printing on paper, but it is something more than that. And as we heard the words of the collect for today, I'm wanting us to underline one particular aspect of this, and that is hearing the word of God. Hearing. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us to hear them. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. And there are three things that I want to do today is, first of all, to look at three things out of the the passages of scripture that we've looked at, we've had read this morning. And secondly, I want us to return to that particular word in the collect, hearing. But first, three things from God's word. And if you like alliterations, then you must either love me or hate me for that, because we don't always appreciate them. But you've got three P's today, whether you like it or not. And the first thing is that it proves permanent. It proves permanent. In the passage that we have here for the Gospel today from Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says at the end, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." My words will never pass away. And Jesus is saying here that his words are indeed equivalent to the words of the Hebrew Scriptures. They come with the authority and the power that those same Scriptures appear. But Jesus himself had said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 verse 18, he says, "Truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until it is accomplished." God's word will be fulfilled. It will be accomplished. And Jesus is saying, "My words will never pass away." When Peter writes his first letter, he quotes from Isaiah and says this, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." The word of God is permanent. Jesus said that this generation will pass away, and indeed heaven and earth will pass away, but my words won't. So we have here in the scriptures the authoritative, permanent word that speaks today to you and me, that is there for us to treasure it and to use it and to apply it. Secondly, it preserves purity. It preserves purity. And here we look at Psalm 119, which is our Old Testament reading. And here we have the opening verse. "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." If we are walking according to God's law, if we are obeying him, then our way will be blameless. Or as it's put in the second part of the Psalm 119 that we read, verse 9. "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word." And the principle here that applies to all of us, whether we are young or whether we are older. And maybe the younger generation need to hear and to heed this again so that they may truly return to the Word of God. How does a young person keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. This is the enduring Word of God. It is true for every generation. And it doesn't fade away. And then verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How important that is, that the word of God should be so part of who we are, part of our DNA, as it were, that we find ourselves turning to it. And we can only do that if we read it regularly, if we hear it regularly, if we're digesting it and understanding it more and more. And we can never stop doing that. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he gave them a good instruction on how to live their lives day by day, the sort of things to think about. He says this: brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. On one side, it may be obvious what sort of things we may be talking about. But if we have any doubt, then the scriptures will help us to understand those things that we should be focusing on in our lives. And forgetting about the trivia and things that are unimportant, but really focusing on the living God, on our Lord Jesus Christ, and the things that would be honouring to him. So, it proves permanent, it preserves purity, and thirdly, it provokes praise. It provokes praise. Maybe we can't open our mouths and sing here, but there's nothing stopping us doing so at home if we feel like it. But it's what's in the heart that really matters. What's really there in order to give praise and thanks to God himself. And again, Psalm 119 addresses this. Verse 7 says, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. The more we know the scriptures, the more we shall want to praise him and to give thanks for who he is. Or verse 12, praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. The desire as we approach God in worship, in praise and thankfulness, to make sure that our lives are more and more in accordance with his decrees and his ways, that our lives may truly reflect who he is. No wonder then the scripture is of such importance. And indeed, Paul, sometimes in his writing, would break out into a doxology of praise and worship of God. And there's no better example of that than at the end of chapter 11 of Romans, where, having been speaking about the amazing way in which God's purpose is that both Jew and Gentile should be grafted back into the living olive tree, and so many other things that he speaks about in that chapter, he suddenly breaks forth into this phrase, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Wow. Something here about the actual reflecting, even writing what became, has become the word of God, that caused Paul to break out in praise and thanksgiving. And so on this Bible Sunday, I want us to remember those three P's that say it is indeed, because it proves permanent, it preserves purity, and it provokes praise. And the second thing I want us to do is to look back at that word here. Sometimes, although we may be literate, and we're in the minority in this world if we are, to hear the word is actually quite a good idea. And my wife and I, Jill and I, love to listen to David Suchet reading the word of God. There's no better person, to my mind, to hear the Word of God read than from David Suchet. And there's this little app, if you can download it onto your phone, which is called Bible in a Year, and he reads right through the Bible in the course of a year. Hearing the Word is very important, as well as reading it. And I want you to, just as I come to a conclusion, to introduce you, not physically, of course, but to a friend of ours by the name of Tim King, who, with his wife, has been living out in Israel for the past nearly 40 years now, I think it is. And he's been involved in all sorts of things out there in God's purposes. And for the last few years, he's been involved in an organization that has started up fairly recently called the 4220 Foundation. Now, it's nothing to do with the 4th of February this year, nor, if you're American, the 2nd of April. But it is to do with the fact that the Hebrew word for the word is Devar. And if you take those three Hebrew letters, they're number 4 in the alphabet, number 2, and number 20. And so it's called the 4220. Because the purpose is that the Word of God, particularly the Old Testament, should be made available in many, many other languages over these next few years. There are apparently something like 7,000 languages in the world. 7,000. Of course, some of small tribal languages. And so far, Bibles have been translated into something like 700. 10% of the world's languages only. Now, of course, a great deal of wonderful work has been done by Richard's Bible translators and by other translating organizations. And they're working hard at this. And of course, it's been to provide the written word. And sometimes that written word has to be provided in language where there is no written script. So that it's a doubly hard task to be able to do it. But supposing the scriptures instead are listened to rather than read, there's still a lot of hard work, but it actually cuts out a great deal that otherwise would need to be done. And the reality is that for many people, the communication is oral and not literal. They hear and they don't read. And the part of what the Devar wants to do, the 4220 organization, is to make the scriptures available audially so that they can actually hear the word being spoken. And they want this to be done particularly for the Old Testament as well as the New, and so they are getting people who are able to be Bible translators who can get to know the Hebrew language in depth along with consultants. And their aim is to make the Bible known on CDs or tapes or through digital ways by 2033, that they'll be tackling most of the languages. That's a big project, but it's all been done with the other Bible translation organizations today. It is part of the worldwide outreach that is happening now. And it's good for us to realize on this Bible Sunday that there is this happening, in order that the Word of God might indeed be made known to people all over the world, so that they too can discover that this is God's permanent Word to you and me, to them. That it is a way of finding purity in their lives. And thirdly, that they can indeed find praise as they recognize that it is indeed God Almighty who has sent Jesus Christ in order to be the Saviour of the world, their Saviour and their Lord. The work of the gospel is going ahead in these days, and we can give thanks to God for all that is taking place. So let us ourselves be diligent in the way that we read and hear and understand the word of God, and may we truly put it into practice in our lives day by day, and to his name be the glory. Amen.